thy word in this day, to be already blessed by thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee that we may call thee Abba, Father, that thou canst address every need that we have, and we pray for our needs this afternoon. We look to thee and not to man, and we thank thee and praise thee in Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear ones, for our reading this afternoon, I'd like us to turn to Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 12. And I'd like to begin reading with verse 18. St. Mark, chapter 12. I'd like to read verses 18 to 34. Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without seed, and the second took her and died. Neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Jesus answered and said unto them, Do you not therefore because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered him discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that dared ask him any questions. Today is the end of the month, the end of second quarter. And somehow I feel that we have come a full circle, because I remember that when we started assembling in this facility, we started right here in this room. For some reason, the finishing work was done, and one inspector wanted this, the other inspector wanted that, and finally we fired a letter to the city engineer, give us in writing what more do you want. We put it a little bit more polite than that, but the next thing we knew, they sent us occupancy permit. But I think the pews were not ready or something, so we assembled here for the first Sunday. And I remember what was said, I remember what I read, and what we all felt. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. After years and months without having a sanctuary, to come back to our own that the Lord has graced us with, it felt so good. And it feels good to come here at any time. And I think when this renovation is done and we're back in the sanctuary, we'll have that same feeling. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It was mentioned last Sunday during the Bible class, and for some reason it stayed with me. Apostle John, when he wrote his gospel, he ended up second to last chapter and also the last chapter by saying, and there are many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing it, you may have eternal life. The purpose of things that are recorded is for you and me to recognize Jesus as Christ, Messiah, the Son of God, God the Son, and that in believing we may have eternal life. So, almost by default, I think very often, and it's probably not just me, sometimes you read portion of the scripture and say, why is this written? Why is that particular portion important? What is God trying to tell me and you when we read it? So the text that we have, it says the Sadducees, which do not believe in resurrection, came with this hypothetical question. Question type one. And it's obvious, they did not ask questions to learn anything, to accept what was said. Their intent is to mock, to ridicule the idea of resurrection, which Jesus was preaching, which later the apostles would preach. This is one type of hearers. They're here, but they have their minds made up. And they came here to antagonize, to mock, to ridicule. It says, Sadducees do not believe in resurrection. That's why they said, you see, if they have only hope in what's here and now, sooner or later, they will discover that this is so inadequate. And if we accept what Jesus is teaching, we recognize that he is promising us so much more. I hope and pray that none of us are type one hearers who are here to just, we already know what we believe, don't confuse us with the facts. We just want to maybe pursue others to think the way we do. If there is a type one hero here, you're wasting your time. If you not open your ears, if you don't want to hear what the Lord is telling us. So, obviously, then I said, you know, why is the rest of the reading given us? Well, Jesus, even though he saw through their hearts and their motives, he proceeded to tell them, you don't even begin to understand how things are in heaven. Those that will inherit the heaven will not be marrying and getting in marriage. They'll be like angels. That tells us that angels don't get married. There's no papa angel and mom angel and baby angel. This is a different setup that God has. But now he said, you know what is written in the scripture. When God says, I am God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, hey, I'm the God of the living. That's who you and I are called to believe and to follow. And then we have this account of another, those were Sadducees and a scribe. Scribe is the one who was very knowledgeable of the law, who copied and wrote many times before they had a printing press, right? He's a hearer number two, or a type two hearer. He saw wisdom. He saw the power. And not only that, but he had an affinity for it. He had a faith for it. And he wanted to immerse more. He said, Lord, give me the most essential commandment. What is the biggest commandment? What is the... He doesn't want to miss the mark on the biggest question. Are you, am I, type two hearer who really wants to dig into the word, wants to get the meat of the word, doesn't want to miss any part of it, especially not the most important part? What is the greatest? What is my greatest need? Where do I need to focus my attention and my life? And he already says, Master, you have said right. To love God Almighty with all our hearts, with our mind. What could be greater? And Jesus linked the second one, which he didn't even ask. He asked one question, he got two answers. And second is just as the first one, love your neighbor as yourself. See, God in his infinite right to demand exclusive love, he wants to share it. He wants, when we have a heart that is full of love by God, he wants that love to share between his children. If you want to be type two hearers, we want to be also modeling what he taught, what he said, how he recognized the wisdom and the power of those instructions that he heard. To love God with all our hearts, there is no greater sacrifice. It's much better than sacrifice or any kind of offerings. Any other kind of activities do not pale in comparison. And what does Jesus say? You are not far from the kingdom of God. Sister Vesna, this is the title of this message. You are not far from the kingdom of God. But you may not be there yet. You may be close, but you're not in. Why is that? I don't know. I'm not here to tell you. You need to bring that before the Lord yourself. Lord, why am I so close and I'm not in? That may become question number one for you in your life at this particular time. If your heart is like this, scribe, you know, he's embracing the first and second commandment that Jesus spoke about. But then it comes down to individual situation, your and mine. On the 12th of May this year, we came to the right place. We were there on time. The entrance was closed. The side entrance was closed. Another side entrance was closed. The sign says, "Do not enter." Now, this is our renovation sanctuary. Think about the ultimate entrance when your and my life is over in this world. How would you feel if you come to the closed door and the sign says, "Do not enter"? Ask yourself, ask the Lord. You know, all this week, I thought about this, what Apostle John, you know, Apostle John is apostle of love. He talks about love and how much God loves us. And he said there are many other signs or many other miracles that God did that are not even mentioned here in the Bible. You know, last weekend we heard that our youth choir from our church, Nazarene Church, ACC Church, was in Europe and was in the Royal Palace. They sang in front of royalty. And I cannot begin to describe how much that is a miracle of God. Because we remember what we heard, and we, some of us older, remember what we went through. That the church was persecuted not just in the communist time under Tito, but even before that, before the war, by royalty, by government, by military, by Orthodox Church, united. And now Nazarene choir is singing in front in the Royal Palace. If you had asked me that 25 years ago, I said, no way. Pine Valley, Steve Wooditsky reminded me of something I heard when I was very young, and I forgot completely. And in Serbia, Novi Sad is one of the second biggest town. Serbian Academy of Science was there, so it's a very sophisticated city. There was a brother there who had some kind of a store. Raletic or something like that, the name. And all of a sudden, city fathers come to him. He said, They said, "The king is coming. We need to greet him at the train station. You are a very eloquent man. Come and offer the welcome to the king." And the brother said, "Well, you know who I am. You know, I don't know if the visit was sudden. They couldn't find anybody else, but they say, you will do it." And they knew that he was Nazarene. He was from the church. He's not going to participate in anything else. They said, "No, you just come and welcome the king with the proper welcome." They persuaded the brother, and he came. And the king was very pleased with what the brother said. And he shared that with whoever was around him. And then they started eating and drinking and dancing or whatever. In the middle of that feast, king said, "Bring me that man. I want to talk to him some more." And they say, "He's not here. Why is he not here? He's a Nazarene." And king got mad. "You got Nazarene to come and welcome me?" So you see, no matter what you did, you could not please them. As pleased as he was with the welcome, the moment Nazarene did anything, they got to be punished, right? Of course, the way that they punished church members was mostly to the military. And in Serbian language, and maybe because of the circumstances, we use military or army almost interchangeably, because the overwhelming part of the military was the army. There was some, in my days, there was some Air Force and some Marines, but it was mostly military. And I see brothers here whose fathers suffered a lot on account of military. I want to tell you how I suffered. I went to school, so I wasn't drafted in time. But I may have been 15, 16, 17. There was a history class, and the teacher was older man, little short, little chubby, very colorful. And in those days, the teachers had latitude. They can have tests for the whole class, or they can just pick you. So one that particular time is a Zoran, so you get up from your seat. He starts asking questions. And I was a fairly good listener. I didn't have that much problem. And then out of a blue, his question was, "Is it an honor to serve in the military?" I knew this was not in the curriculum. He didn't teach us that, so we repeat like a parakeet or whatever. And I also thought, of all the 30 people here, so he's picking Nazarene to ask him if it's an honor to serve in the military. And I think I smiled or something in my face. And he saw right through it, and he blew his top. He became so angry. Oh, I knew the answer. I knew what I should say, and I told the right answer. But he saw right through, and he became livid. He said, "It is an honor to serve in the military, not to be a reject." So here I was standing there. My face probably changed every color of the rainbow. And finally, he just yelled, "Sit down." It was the end of the class. He just marched out, as furious as could be. And one of my buddy comes and says, "Melvine, you need to apologize." See, my nickname in school was Melvin. And what it is, at that time, we already were starting to get American movies. And there was one movie called I Love Melvin. And they told me I looked like a main actor there. I wonder, does that mean I may have been good looking when I was young? I don't know. That's another story. I'm so glad he told me that because, you know, I was devastated. I didn't know what to do, what to say. So by that time, the next hour is coming by. After the second class, I catch the teacher on the stairways between the floors. I said, sir, I meant no disrespect to you or to military. And by that time, he was calmed down, and he said, it's okay. I see that your parents brought you up right. And he never held it against me for the rest of the year. But then I go home and tell my dad, and my dad blows the gasket. What do you need to do? Smile. What is that smile? You know, he thinks this bumbler. I was 16, 17. Come 20, 22. He doesn't even know what's coming. It's going to be 10 times worse, you know. So he gave it to me. Only afterwards did I remember that teacher was not only a veteran, but he was at a theater that is talked in Serbian history, and he was a participant there. See, when the First War started, and the Germany, Austria from the north, and Bulgarians from the east, they attacked Serbia, and the military had already Balkan wars before. They were exhausted, they were poor equipped, you know, they just couldn't resist, so they started retreating. That's what I always think of when we go to Pine Valley Retreat. I think of the army, because army retreats. But they were outnumbered, and as they retreated all the way south to the border, the more and more civilians joined them. For whatever reason, they thought it's better, their lot would be better if they retreat with the army than stay. And they had to cross Albanian mountains, and it was already October. Disease, hunger, exhaustion, thousands upon thousands died. And that teacher was there. So finally, when they went all the way to the sea, I think French and British Navy shipped them to Corfu Island, Greek island. But they were still so sick and dying from the typhus mostly and tuberculosis, that they overwhelmed the small island, and they started burying people in the sea. And one of them composed that Plava Grobnica, blue graveyard, thousands of people were just buried at the sea. So this teacher went, you know, and he told us before, but I didn't think in time. He said he was so sick that they already threw him in a pile of the dead. And then somebody came by and noticed. He said, look at this, Radenko Savic, he's still moving. So they put him from the pile, and he survived. And now this punk, 15, 16-year-olds, laughed in your face, whether it's honor to serve the army or not, you know. You know, I got totally different perspective getting old, you know, how that happened. They call this Albanian Golgotha, that march through the Albanian mountains in the winter. But that's, I think I remember that I somehow always disliked anything about military and so forth, to the point that I don't even like onward Christian soldiers. You know, it just reminds me of military. But, you know, this is a little bit going on the tangent. We are back to the essential question. Are you, am I, type one hearer who come here? Or are we type two hearer that wants to know God's will, that wants to know God's word, that wants to get deeper into God's word, and above all, to be not just not far, but to be in. So as you look at your life and I look at mine, you know, ask what is that prevents you to travel that little distance between being close and being in. And ask the Lord to show you, first of all, what it is, and second, how do you deal with it? You know, God does many different signs, even today. He brought our choir in the royal palace, and they were even called again on a private audience and so forth. So all of a sudden, it's like a day and night. But God does signs and wonders in many ways. He's not limited, but basically there are two types of his miracles. One is, remember, when the people went to the Red Sea. The enemy was pursuing. The water parted without them doing anything, and they went through the sea as to the dry land. Exodus. But on the second occasion, when we read in Joshua, the water did not part on their own until they stepped in the water in faith before the water parted. The leaders were in front. They were not pushing from behind. Ask the Lord to do that sign, to that wonder in your life, so that you can be not only not far, but that you would be in the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless his word.